Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about CISPA, C-I-S-P-A, with Ted Pike tonight. Hello, Ted. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you, Jeff.
Very well indeed. This is an issue that, again, there's so many things coming at us so fast now that most Americans truly can't process them all and make honest, valued judgments about them. They come and they go so quickly. It's crazy. It's just crazy. So tell us about CISPA, where it is right now, and why it is another major nail they are endeavoring to drive into the coffin of what was once the most wonderful country on the face of this earth.
Yes. Well, last week, Representative Ron Paul issued an alert on his weekly radio announcement. Maybe I could just read a couple of paragraphs. I just don't know how I could improve on the clarity of what he says.
All right.
He says the latest assault on Internet freedom is called the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, or CISPA, which may be considered by Congress this week, and it was and approved by the House a day or two after he issued this.
Yeah.
CISPA is essentially an Internet monitoring bill that permits both the federal government and private companies to view your private online communications with no judicial oversight, provided, of course, that they do so in the name of cybersecurity.
Right.
The bill is very broadly written and allows the Department of Homeland Security to obtain large swaths of personal information contained in your emails or other online communications. It also allows emails and private information found online to be used for purposes far beyond any reasonable definition of fighting cyber terrorism. CISPA represents an alarming form of corporatism as it further intertwines government with companies like Google and Facebook. It permits them to hand over your private communications to government officials without a warrant, circumventing well-established federal laws like the Wiretap Act and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. It also grants them broad immunity from lawsuits for doing so, leaving you without recourse for invasions of privacy. Simply put, CISPA encourages some of our most successful Internet companies to act as government spies.
Yes.
Sowing distrust of social media and chilling communication in one segment of the world economy where America still leads. That is chilling.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like I say, there's an endless lineup of these things which we don't even know about yet. Who writes these laws? It's not written by congressmen and senators. This one isn't. Most aren't. They come to them from shady and shadowy sources. We don't know exactly who writes them. They're not American. They're not legal.
Yeah.
So do we know where this one came from?
Yeah, it was ostensibly written or authorized by Mike Roberts, Representative Mike Roberts, who's chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
Well, who gave it to Roberts and had him put his imprimatur on it? That's the question.
I tell you, Jeff, I wrote a few paragraphs this morning precisely answering that question. Could I read these paragraphs for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The whole world would be happy to enjoy a free Internet. That is, most of the whole world would be happy to enjoy a free Internet forever.
Yeah.
Except for one group.
Yeah.
The Zionists.
Yeah.
Zionists and Jewish supremacists, particularly ADL, are very unhappy that the Internet allows the world to know what Jewish supremacists wish would remain secret.
Oh, they hate it.
This includes the anti-Gentile, anti-Christian, racist teachings of the Talmud, Jewish control of the money system and world government, Jewish control of mass media, Congress, hate laws, and so on. Zionists particularly resent the power of the Internet to broadcast worldwide the latest injustice against the Palestinians. Zionism gnashes its teeth that many thousands of so-called hate sites have proliferated on the information superhighway, shouting that Israel is a racist, apartheid state, a sham democracy with no real regard for Palestinian human and territorial rights. It's not hard to understand why the top priority of Israel's PR representative, ADL, has been to try to end such free speech on the Internet, attempting to convince governments that the Internet can be just as free without such so-called hate speech.
Yes.
Yet ADL has had a very difficult time accomplishing this. In 2004, ADL created the International Network Against Cyber Hate. Its mission was to work with governments worldwide in a variety of ways to outlaw or prevent expression of criticism of Israel on the Internet. This included education. But there's a problem. The more educated people become about Israel's brutality, the more so-called anti-Semitic the world becomes. Yet, such efforts have been, such efforts then have been largely unsuccessful. Instead, in America, ADL and other censorship groups have repeatedly backed efforts like HIPAA, SOPA, and now the most dangerous assault on Internet freedom, CISPA, which I call the End Internet Privacy Act. If CISPA passes, a government dominated by Jews, such as Senate Homeland Security head Senator Joseph Lieberman, will surely specify to their Internet spies that websites critical of Israel are, by definition, supportive of the Palestinians and Hamas and perhaps Arab terrorism. Such anti-Semitic websites will be especially monitored and visitors reported to the government. The government, in fact, may well make no secret of the fact that if people visit such hate sites, their name and possibly confidential information will end up in a federal anti-terrorist data bank. Thus, CISPA, by intimidating people from visiting hate sites, creates a chill on free speech within the anti-Zionist right and left. This powerfully fulfills ADL's dream of drying up criticism of Israel online. See where it's taking us?
Got it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, there's no question about what it's all about. They don't like the fact that the Internet is allowing criticism of Zionist, racist, apartheid, genocidal Israel and the incredible Zionist power over this country. They don't like that. They seek to stamp it out. And they'll do anything it takes. They'll do anything to ultimately completely control and dominate your right to question anything that they don't agree with. It's just unbelievable what's happening. Hold on. Be back with Ted in just a minute. Okay, back with Ted Pike talking about CISPA. So, CISPA goes to the Senate. What's your call in the Senate? What seems to be happening there? And why such an overwhelming vote in the House with something that is so obviously fraught with danger?
Yes. This is unprecedented for the Republicans to weigh so heavily on the side of freedom-destroying legislation. Now, I have no illusions about the weaknesses of the Republicans, and to a certain extent, the old adage, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. There's a certain truth to that. But over the past 10 or 12 years, the Republicans really have united to help prevent the ADL's hate crimes legislation from getting through. And certainly a cadre of real fighters, especially in the House Judiciary Committee, like Louis Gohmert and so on.
Yeah,
but this is unprecedented to have 206 Republicans vote for CISPA, and 140 Democrats voted against it. Now, what's happening here, I think...
Strange bedfellows, yes, yes.
What I think here is going on is that underneath the surface, you see, all of these Republicans, practically to a man, are extremely pro-Israel. They will vote right down the line for Israel, regardless of what the latest atrocity is going on over there.
Yes.
And basically, there's an understanding underneath the surface that this is a pro-Israel vote because it will remove criticism of Israel off of the internet. And Israel, Zionism, Jewish supremacism will be the first, the most obvious beneficiary of this legislation.
Sure.
And what we've noticed even in the last few years is that the liberals are actually more savvy concerning the injustices of Israel and Palestine and the control of Wall Street and things like that than the Republicans are. And so we have a glimmer of hope in the Senate. The bill has not yet been introduced into the Senate, but with the Democrats having the preponderance of votes in the Senate, that's our ray of hope, is that the Republican momentum will stop in the Senate, and the Democrats, basically led by organizations like the American Civil Liberties Union and Obama himself, who has promised to veto it, will keep this at bay. By the way, let me just read a good quote from the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd be doing this because these are my arch enemies.
Strange
and so
juxtaposition.
On,
yeah, yeah.
this is a quote. The Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, CISPA, would create a cyber security exception to all privacy laws and allow companies to share the private and personal data they hold on their American customers with the government for cybersecurity purposes. Beyond the potential for massive data collection authorization, the bill would provide no meaningful oversight of or accountability for the use of that new information sharing. And in fact, perhaps I could just do another one. Tim Berners-Lee, who is actually the inventor of the World Wide Web, expressed opposition to the bill, stating, "It is threatening the rights of people in America and effectively rights everywhere, because what happens in America tends to affect people all over the world. Even though the SOPA and PIPA acts were stopped by huge public outcry, it's staggering how quickly the U.S. government has come back with a new, different threat."
Well, that's
to
what
the
I
rights
said.
Of its citizens.
Yeah, exactly right. They don't mess around. Look, and if this one doesn't work, they've got 10 more probably sitting on the shelf right now in various stages of completion. Look, this is an issue of a real world shifting further and further into the virtual one. All right, just think about it. The virtual world is now becoming the real world. More and more issues of legality and what they're calling internet rights are coming into question all the time, both in the courts and in the media and just conversations like ours. The online world may be steeped in the sharing of data and information. Issues of privacy and protection of knowledge arise constantly nonetheless. That's what we're talking about here. Privacy and protection of knowledge. Of knowledge. Now, if you're preferring... Okay, they're talking about jobs here. If you're preparing for a future as a paralegal, it is important to understand the potential infringement of rights as the public struggles to protect personal identity from the throes of bureaucracy. After the SOPA bill, S-O-P-A, outraged millions this past fall, it did seem for a time that the threat of outrageous internet privacy violations had passed. But now, all of a sudden, Congress has unleashed and the House has passed that brand new bill, CISPA, And this one is actually a bigger beast entirely. So it's not something that's going to go away. These people are going to keep knocking on the door until the door falls off its hinges if they have to.
Right.
It's crazy. It's evil.
Yeah.
It's not normal. This is an agenda-driven issue of complete domination of humanity.
Yeah.
And the people behind
so
it... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there are a number, quite a number. I believe there's something like 46 organizations who have signed on now officially opposing CISPA.
Good.
And these are watchdogs who have been on the scene. They've been to the hearings over the last 6 months and so on, and have been badgering Rogers and the committee to make real substantive provisions for protection of intellectual property rights and information and names and all this kind of thing. But you see, you have a fundamental problem. And that is that...
Ted, hold. Excuse me, please. Hold on. I'm sorry. We do have to break. We're running late. Hold on with that fundamental problem issue, if you would. And we'll pick it right up there in a couple minutes. And if you have a cell phone, email it to me, ASAP, and we may try you on that one. We're passable here. I like the best audio we can get. Right back with Ted Pike as we continue talking about our ever fading rights on the internet. And remember, the real world is becoming the virtual world every day. Okay, I'm back with Ted Pike. Now, we're talking about an issue that is not going to go away. And that issue, of course, is the total domination of your right to life, liberty, and, well, life, liberty in a virtual world. The virtual world, this is the most bizarre reversal of reality in history. Right, we'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay, Ted, where were you? Do you remember?
Yes, we were talking about a fundamental problem. There are these watchdog groups that have been badgering Rogers and his committee and so on, trying to get concessions for privacy, for freedom to speak without any fear of being reported to the NSA or Lieberman or anybody in government. And they're finding Rogers to be unable to give them the kind of assurances they need in order for freedom and liberty and privacy to be preserved. And there's a very simple reason for that. It's because the government... Rogers, as the head of the House Intelligence Committee, he ostensibly views the main problem of modern society is that we're in a war on terror. And this war involves the internet, and what the government in any war wants to do is to get industry and even people on street corners as watchmen in their blocks and so on, watching out for spies and having the number of the government and the War Department or the FBI, whatever, at hand and calling in information on suspicious activity. And what Rogers is wanting is basically an end to privacy. And this bill is marvelously simple. It's not at all written like the hate crimes bill, full of all kinds of subtle, perverse deviations and evasiveness and all of that kind of thing, legalese that you can't understand. This is marvelously simple. This is a most noteworthy Republican bill. It's red, white, and blue, patriotic, very upfront, very on the surface, as clear as can be. The government wants to end privacy on the internet in order to keep America safe.
Right,
and,
of course.
And we trade our privacy... our confidentiality, our privacy, our ability to visit any website we want to, unafraid that the government is watching over our shoulder. According to him, according to Rogers, this is a good trade-off to have safety and give up our privacy rights on the internet. And so these watchdog groups are howling and they're grumbling and they're saying this is all very unsatisfying because he's not. He's not giving us freedom on the internet. Of course not.
Right.
And he knows he's not. He know they know they're taking away freedom and privacy on the internet. And so this this results in the Republicans grumbling and saying, we'll make accommodations, we'll make amendments, we'll make you happy. Don't slow down this pivotal bill, which will ensure the safety of you and your children and so on. But there's a lot of grumbling as it's going into the Senate. And what I'm really anxious people do right now is we bombard the Senate Judiciary Committee immediately. This has worked so effectively in holding back the hate bills over the past 10 years. You see, it's even projected that this bill will not even slow down and go through the judiciary in the Senate. It might go directly to the floor of the Senate. And what we need to do is to call in. People need to call in immediately. We need to bombard the Senate Judiciary Committee demanding that they hold hearings. Hearings are valuable because, number one, if they agree to hold hearings, you have to set a date for it. There's another week wasted. It's not wasted for us. It postpones consideration of the bill.
Right.
The crucial thing right now is to get up some steam, get up the same momentum we had 4 or 5 months ago with the other internet censorship bills. And that momentum hasn't built up.
Right.
You see, the big problem...
Well, they keep draining our energy, Ted, with the every time one of these comes around, people get a little more tired of it. That's what happens.
Well, this is a particularly inflammatory bill, and I'm going to try to do a lot of radio in the next few weeks You see, what I've got to do, what I'm having to do here is to counteract the public perception in the conservative right that this is good legislation, because this is an all-American Republican bill. There's hardly a Democrat to be seen backing it, relatively speaking. This is a Republican bill, and the people in the right are confused. The religious right is confused, the far right, alternative right, where we're in, they just don't know. Well, how can all these Republicans be for this bill and it be dangerous to our freedom and our privacy? And so what we have to do is realize that, paradoxically, the Democrats, the ACLU, even Obama is more of our friend in this fight than the trusted Republicans.
Well, he did threaten to veto it.
Yes, he did. Of course, he threatened to veto the military appropriations bill that the hate bill was attached to too. But when push came to shove, he went ahead and signed it in the Rose Garden and forgot all about his threats to veto that bill, military arms bill. So you can't trust Obama. And there could be concessions and compromises and amendments still made in the Senate Judiciary that could cause Obama to change his mind. But it's hard to see how any amendment can alter this legislation, because it is so direct and simple. Government wants to take away everybody's privacy on the internet to visit any site they want to.
They basically already have, but they're just trying to they're trying to formalize it.
Well, that's right. The government doesn't want to be bothered with the task of monitoring the internet personally. That's an awful lot of work. They want to farm it out to their spies. And these are the big internet moguls, Ivan Siedenberg, Jewish, ADL lackey, Verizon. And we're talking about Comcast. We're talking about Jews, Facebook, etc., who are all, many of them have, a number of them have received ADL rewards, awards and commendations, and are pro-Zionist, and they're in with the Bronfmans, they're in with the Sumner Redstone and all that gang, and they attend these United Jewish Appeal fundraisers. They all get together. These are the people. These high Jewish internet moguls are the people that our government and that Rogers feels now can be trusted to receive the most sensitive information about what the government defines as a potential terrorist or potential security threat. And then conversely, These are the people who will be flattered to start monitoring any kind of information that comes through the pipes that they might think fulfills those criteria that might,
yes, yes,
might be anti-Semitic or anti-Israel or
I
pro-Hamas
know.
Or well, pro-terrorist and so on.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You know, Teddy Kennedy, Edward Kennedy, before he died, he said every hate crime is basically an act of domestic terrorism. And well, that's an astonishing statement to make, that a hate crime,
it certainly is.
Anti-Semitism is actually domestic terrorism. And you know, we had a big expose.
Yeah. Oh, Ted, hold on just a second again. We'll pick that up. Hate crimes are domestic terrorism. Well, all right. Back in a minute with Ted Pike. Okay, talking to Ted Pike. So, go ahead and pick it up where you were, if you can remember, and we'll move through this.
What we need is action. We need people to not only call their senators from their state, but especially the pivotal senators in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the toll-free number, actually I have two of them. I'll give the first one, is 866-220-0044. Again, that's 866-220-0044. I've tried that number. It works great. Call the Senate Judiciary Committee. And actually, at truthtellers.org, in my latest article, right at the top, the upper right on the homepage, it's entitled CISPA Ends Privacy and Freedom.
Uh-huh.
It's something like that.
All right.
No Internet Privacy Act passes House. I think that's the title. You can't miss it. It's right there at the top. Anyway, all right. At the end of the article, we have the list of all the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Republican and Democrat. It doesn't make any difference what you call, which side you call. Probably the Democrats would be more favorable, but anyway, call each one of them. You'll have about 30 to call, but it's well worth it. And demand hearings. We have to demand hearings. That'll slow it down. It'll give the senators on our side the ability to offer amendments, propose arguments to slow it down. Crucial hours and days in which the steam can build up again. To real national opposition to this bill. So come to truthtellers.org, go to the end of my article there, and get those calls going in first thing in the morning.
All right. And if we successfully defeat this one, we'll have to get ready to do them. It's just like the hate laws. These are new kinds of, they're kind of like the next generation in hate laws, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are. They are basically the ADL wants to
end
free speech on all levels.
Right.
Whether it's state, federal, international. They are sick and tired of being criticized and even having the internet there to report on their latest abuses. They want to be able to have a closed system there in Israel where they can successfully drive out the remaining Palestinians and create an entirely Jewish state, which was what they really wanted to do in 1948. And the British intervened in 1948. They weren't able to finish the job. They weren't able to drive out all the 1.5 million Palestinians. They only got about 800,000 out, but they want to finish that. And the problem with a free internet is that it entitles critics of Israel, reporting from Israel, and Palestinians themselves to blast out the truth of the latest atrocities and abuses and demolitions and human rights violations to the rest of the world. This is not satisfactory to Israel. It's not satisfactory to ADL. But as long as there are people, and I'm very, very encouraged, there are 46 groups now signing on who really want to oppose this bill. I'm going to be going on the trail this next week, a lot of broadcasting, filling the alternative right, at least, with a thorough knowledge of the threat of this legislation.
All right. So who's going to lead the charge? We are. We have to do it. Nobody in the Congress is going to do it, right? Or do we have somebody in the Senate going to say,
no? The members of Congress are plastic. They are bought and paid for. They show by their voting record, they show by the applause every time Netanyahu speaks to them, where their primary loyalties lie, because they are under the threat by the AIPAC, the Jewish lobby. They're out of Congress if they don't cooperate with the Zionists. So it's up to private watchdogs and lovers of freedom, right down to the grassroots Americans to stand up, speak out, get the word out, and in lieu of leadership in the religious or political right, we the people have to speak out. I briefly an example of the power of even a very few people that was shown in this last 8 weeks. You know, I was on your broadcast about a month ago protesting the GCB Good Christian Bitches program.
Yes.
And just with the relatively small amount of awakening and protest, we have convinced, it's 78%, almost 4 out of 5 sponsors of Good Christian Bitches have not advertised the second time on that program.
Right.
They're scared to death of it.
Right.
And all of that's been coming basically off of, I've written about 24 articles which have dominated the search engines. Go anywhere on on Google or Yahoo, just type in protest GCB, you'll find up to seven articles of mine right on the front pages. But the nice thing is that they're put up there by my other friends, other anti-Zionist organizations. So the illusion is given to these corporations that there's a lot of controversy out there coming from many quarters. And so they're scared of the controversy, but it doesn't take very many people. A tiny minority can exert disproportionate power if we are vocal and passionate what we are doing. And I believe in the same way we can back down CISPA, we can back down the next bill, but it all depends whether good men are going to do something, because all that's really necessary for these bills to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
And women.
Yes, excuse me.
Good Americans. Good human
right.
beings. Look, if seriously, Ted is more than correct. If we don't do this, it's over. They are cracking down so hard on our constitutional rights now that soon there won't be any left. It's amazing to me. I can't understand why Ron Paul hasn't introduced bill after bill to oppose these kinds of things. Or somebody. And especially this foreign company that's going to count the votes for at least the Americans in 28 states who vote come this November.
Yes.
It's crazy. I don't understand it. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Votes should be counted in the United States. They shouldn't be counted abroad by foreign companies owned by George Soros. I mean,
yes.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
So SCYTL. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This is the trend of the internationalists, the globalists, is to take as much power now from the people as they can possibly get away with.
Oh yeah.
And if we stand by and say, well, there's nothing we can do. Do you realize that no, literally no, Christian conservative leaders, church leaders, have opposed this GCB program? None of them. There's a mentality there. There's nothing we can do.
How can that be? How can that be?
It is. There's a mentality abroad, whether it's the big Jewish TV networks or whatever, or big government or Congress, there's nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here, just a few people have basically gutted GCB, ABC, Disney of something like 127 sponsors have jumped ship and don't want anything to do with it. That's millions and millions of dollars of lost revenue for ABC, Disney.
Right.
And it just shows with a few people who have real tenacity, real fight, real vision, and love of God and freedom can do still in this country. And in fact, our National Prayer Network held back the ADL hate bill, the federal hate bill, for 10 years. And this is a powerful testimony, because there's so much apathy today. We cannot buy into this lie that we cannot change history anymore. We somehow, the government or the media is just simply too big. That is a lie. And the moguls in government, Congress, the media, etc., are really very afraid of passionate people speaking out. And I was telling you the other day that if one little terrier, one little dog is on the wall of a sleeping city and barks its little lungs out, after a while, about 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody irritated will come up to see what the fuss is about, and they'll see the great army surrounding the sleeping city. Well, that just shows what one little tiny dog can do. And I would like to be that little dog on the wall. I implore, in fact, many, many to join me to speak out now, especially this is a decisive moment in history. Are we going to preserve the privacy of the Internet, or let it be invaded and become a part of government control?
Absolutely right. We are really at the crossroads, the final crossroads now. This is it. Either fish, you know the rest. Ted, thank you very much. Be well. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, good night.